Pashtun is not Bella.
Okay.
I want to discuss now a very important, two very important conscious matters, which are related to each other and are both discussed in a beautiful article in the magazine called Misora, Chelek Aleph. One is the principle known as Achsheve. In all of our discussions of eating something which is nifsal, you have to worry about this Achsheve story. What's Achsheve? The Rosh said in the second parak, which are related to each other and are both discussed in a beautiful article in the magazine called Misora, Chelek Aleph. One is the principle known as Achsheve. In all of our discussions of eating something which is nifsal, you have to worry about this Achsheve story. What's Achsheve? The Rosh said in the second parak that if I have perakol kodem zman, I was with about no leachat zmana. Why only I know one at achila? That the Rosh, if I eat the patch of perakol kodem zman, I'm Achsheve. I'm making it important, and therefore it would be considered prohibited, presumably by the Rabbanim. That's called Achsheve. To start a new topic, Achsheve. So, there are a number of issues concerning this principle of Achsheve. Number one, does it apply to a situation such as the gelatin situation? What happened by gelatin? Became nifsal and it became royal over again. Should we prohibit it on the basis of Achsheve? And our chloekas between Rav Chaim Oiz and Rav Aaron Kotler, the Chronim Levrocha, based upon a principle called Achsheve B'Tarubis. You don't need the bones straight, or whatever matter came from the bones. What you're eating is a delicious bowl of jello, delicious, yummy for the tummy. But it has in it somewhere a little of that bone residue, whatever it may be. The question becomes, we say Achsheve B'Tarubis. So Rabbi Chaim Oizer said, no, there's no Achsheve B'Tarubis. Rabbi Aaron Kotler said, yes, no Achsheve B'Tarubis when you yourself did not arrange with the Tarubis. But the Tarubis is not the maid of a miscave. You purposely mixed it in. Then Rabbi Aaron said you would apply Achsheve even though it's B'Tarubis. Against Rabbi Chaim Oizer. Sure. I have a situation of Achsheve B'Tarubis. What does that mean? I don't eat the thing straight. I take the burnt bread and I eat it straight. If I eat the burnt bread straight, so we apply the principle of Achsheve. That's true. Here, there's something which is nifsal me'achila. I don't eat it straight. I put it into a whole big blob and it comes out in the middle of the jello. So if Chaim Oizer said, you don't say Achsheve, you didn't eat it straight. Rabbi Kotler said, you do say Achsheve because you put it into the Tarubis, intending it to be there for a very important reason for culinary purposes, in terms of you're preparing the dish, and therefore it's considered Achsheve anyway, even though it's for Tarubis. It's an Achlokas, these two gedolim of a generation or two ago.
I don't understand, because what's the reason? I didn't make it there.
Yes, you did.
The company did it.
So the company did it, and you wanted it that way, that's considered to be Achsheve.
That falls under the whole question of if the bottle is
Achsheve. It's related.
The company makes it bottles, I mean...
Yeah, but you want to have it kosher, so you have the OU in there, or some other kind, some other rabbi.
Only 5% of the people in the country, not the 95%.
All
right. So the is not for me.
Since you're eating it, and they're paying good money to get the shashkach, I mean, they're doing it for you. You.
So let's say it's a bad Achsheve.
Huh? Better than Achsheve.
If you want to hold that cover, it's a bad Achsheve.
Better than Achsheve.
However,
in Misora, in a footnote, the Rav Shech, the Shalita said, and I believe it's the same thing as echoed by Nishmas Avram, Rav Shalem Azam, and Arabach Shalita. I believe it's exactly the same thing. And they think the entire principle of Achsheve is irrelevant over here. Achsheve only applies if I eat it while it's no good. If I eat it while it's no good, it means for the whole world it's inedible. For me, it's edible. I was Machshevin. But if it was inedible at one point in time, and now it became edible, and I eat it after it's edible, so then the hefta which existed before of nifsal v'achila bein time still exists. I didn't do anything to undo that. I didn't eat it, then I ate it later. It's a big deal I ate it later. Doesn't mean it's kosher to me earlier. Earlier was inedible completely. Very big asvaras. And the whole action wouldn't apply bechlal to the gel situation. It was nifsal v'nasaroi. Bechlal, it wouldn't apply the ashrei principle. Finally, in terms of ashrei, we have to discuss ashrei with reference to medicines. Do we say ashrei by medicines? What's the status of medicines which are treif or not kosher l'pesa? What's the status? Oh, yes.
So with the gel, so first it's inaroi, right? And then it becomes noise
after right. Wouldn't
because it's not in a state of
what's the matter? You ate it when it was raw. I want to say in a raw. What about medicines? Yes. The Haskana by gels is as follows. Since hold on, since it's omer l'ka, although not mitchila, then according to many authorities, you would not apply the principle of nifsal v'yemtza. So therefore, I would say you should not eat gelatin. Sorry. Yeah?
I mean, minhag America, obviously, amongst the serious hashgachas, and not to be sure on gelatin.
What's the question? Ask me a question.
I am. I'm going to get to the question. The question is, in certain areas of Europe, the whole minhag of the country, if I remember correctly, Belgium, the whole minhag of the country, amongst the so-called charedim, is that they can take hold of this stuff. So now,
what's the question?
If I go to a person's house, and you have to kill him a tray, then you these all the stuff. A lot of products have gelatin in it.
What's the question? If you go to Belgium and they serve you chicken, you're not eating. It's a bit jealous.
There are many uses of gelatin besides just making so-called gelatin.
I never saw jello in my chicken. I don't know how they interpreted that word. I can't tell you. But if you give me a plain piece of chicken, it's okay. All right.
Or in Israel, you claim to go search out to make sure it's not a tuda that's...
I repeat, if you eat chicken, it's okay. So with the chicken is kosher. But if you eat jello, I would check it out. Okay, right. Medicines. What's the status of medicines that are not really non-kosher ingredients? So, Chazon Ish said like this. He goes back to the same principle as we mentioned earlier. Achshav Rebbe Tarubis. He pilfers back and forth this shaila and machlokes between Rav Aaron Klotzer and Rav Chaim Arizer. Rav Chaim is not sure. Should we say that since the part that he wants, the active ingredient, quote unquote, the medicinal, which is usually a chemical component, which is not a problem, conscious wise, is what he really wants, even though they have to put a binder or put some kind of a, you know, some liquid, which is some conveyor, whatever they put on the outside, which is not kosher. Which is a big deal, no Ashrei, he doesn't want that. He wants the active ingredient. Or maybe we shouldn't apply that Torah. Maybe Rav Aaron Klotzer is right. This man knows a machlokes between Rav Aaron and Chaim Arizer, the Chazon Ish is besupik about it. He's not 100% sure, therefore, what's the status of these tablets. Again, assuming that the tablet itself and the active ingredient is kosher, there and the other stuff is on the side of the tray, he's besupik a little bit. But we see from Chalas and Ish one thing, Lechara, that the act of you would betray, we say Ashavet. From Moshe Kriks, that the Chalas not shy of Ashavet by medicines. What does Ashavet mean? I consider it to be edible, I consider it to be a good food. But when it comes to medicine, people are always eating bitter things. The fact of eating it doesn't mean you consider it to be a food. You consider it to be a non-food, which I must eat in order to make myself better. That's not called Ashavet. That's a Meredith Gesvara, Moshe asks. Sure. Achshave means if I eat burnt bread, kercho. So although the rest of the world thinks this is junk, fit to be put into the garbage, if I eat it, that indicates, oh, I can view it as being food. If I take aspirin, right, then this aspirin is somehow a tray, I don't indicate by my taking aspirin that I consider it to be food. It's not food, but I eat not food to make myself feel better. It's a different taste completely. That's what Ramosha is. According to Ramosha, there's bechlal no problem when it comes to any of these medicines, period. You don't say achshavet. And therefore, it's not considered a raw lachila. It's not considered omer lachila. It's not something which we usually consider to be a food that we usually eat. And therefore, it would be considered permissible and you wouldn't apply Achshavet. Gel caps is a different story. Gel caps is bechlad nefesel me'achilet. It's plastic. And whatever's inside is karcha b'siv, so I think that's it's capsules is fine. And even caplets are fine. Yeah. That's right. You have to hold the active ingredient. The entire thing is all powerful. So put the rest. However, I always say to prefer to have a solid which you just swallow down, as opposed to a liquid which may be somewhat tasty, or a chewable which may be somewhat tasty. Better to always have, of course, a solid tablet or a capsule, which is the better way to ingest your medicine if necessary. It's then unavoidable, otherwise they have a bit of a problem. I mean, it's cherry-flavored Robitussin, that kind of stuff. Robitussin is cherry-flavored, it's tasty, and it's a liquid. So I would try to take, just get the kosher bread. It's not tasty?
No, it's certainly better than the medicine taste, but it's not a...
If you want Robitussin, I would recommend you get the non-cherry flavored, if it exists. I'm not sure if it exists anymore. The purists, they give you the straight stuff. Oh, good. That's some appeal. Give it to your dog first, I'll bet he'll say, oh, too. Vitamins, which are a common tablets or capsules, probably are also okay no matter what, Mika or Din. For the same reason? I don't mean those vitamins that people use for food. Typically, the other day, they said, don't eat lunch, have vitamins. I'm not discussing that. I mean, I mean vitamins are just used to protect you from disease. Yes?
So when you, let's say, see mouthwash or something, you're not swallowing it, it has glycerin or alcohol, which can be from wine.
Mouthwash? I don't know. I'm not discussing mouthwash. I'm talking about tablets.
I don't know
about that. I think there's plenty of others who know you. I don't have to get involved in any shows. Okay. Rabosai, in this context of Achshave and of the modern world of Kashrus, I want to say a few words about enzymes. Enzymim, which I discussed in that same beautiful Maimon of Shechter in the Sorah. Enzymes, what it really means is you have microorganisms which absorb a liquid and they spit it out in a different form. And there were those who considered the enzymes to be parallel to what the Gemara discussed, what the Gemara Shulchan Aruch discussed in Yoredesim and Samach, of behemosh in his patamim of acholas asuris, an animal which was fattened on prohibited foods, which there are some leniencies. Rav Shechter proves conclusively, I believe, that this is not the case. Rather, we say, since these enzymes, these microorganisms are invisible to the naked eye, they don't exist of the halacha. And therefore we don't view it as something which is a behema which is swallowed and spit out. We view it as if the object itself was transformed. So the tray of soup into which the enzymes are spilled now transformed into a new object. We consider it to be in the category of macholas asuris with the potential header of nishtana, which we'll get to a little bit later on. And at first glance, we're talking about a shalom of a daraisa. If the soup in which it grows is a daraisa. However, the only way I think we can knock it out of a daraisa is by saying that in these, apparently, and again, go back to the food technologists, apparently after the enzyme does its work as a catalyst, and the it assumes a new form, and it's thrown into a different, it makes it stronger, in other words, that this microorganism is made very strong by its tevila, in the mikvah of the trefer soup, they throw it into the trefer soup and leave it there for a few hours. It becomes Popeye. That's how it works. I don't understand how it works. The food technology becomes very strong to be able to do it with its thing. Then it's completely separated out from the original soup in which it grew. And it's completely separated out. So then the chaora, once the separation takes place, then it would not be asur min haTorah anymore. As we said, he is sold. If it's something which is a cane tray or some mixture with some other item. And separated completely from the tray of animals which it had mixed. Pasha, that's mutter. You know, most epshel is soft though, also. You can just now get the tarpers out almost completely, just leave a little bit in, less than 1/60, we pass in the tzasser. But after the hafrido, you can separate out completely, then it would be considered to be in the category of permissible, at least with the rice. This might help, because we'll see soon, there's a big difference between the rice and the rabbanon, for the situation we call nishtan. As I was speaking, I realized I forgot to tell you something which is important. That's why I was figuring out how to say it. We discussed earlier nifsal me'achila. Something nifsal me'achila, or nifsal me'achila odom, or me'achila kelev. What kind of status, and it becomes royal over again. I forgot to point out one machlokas, which is very important. That is as follows. If it's nifsal me'achila, intrinsically, we discussed it. What happens if it's nisare, it becomes mixed in with other items which are nifsal, which make it presently nifsal me'achila, odom or kelev. If it's Epshel HaFrido, if you can then pull it out, then everyone agrees that there would be no din of, even though it becomes royal over again, it's going to be kosher. Not true, because it was never intrinsically compromised. It's just that this was the company, had bad company, but it wasn't intrinsically Nifsal. But the Shaila is, what if it's Nifsal because of the Tarubis, something is mixed in, and it's Epshel HaFrido? It's impossible to separate it. When I say impossible, we had Josh before, if I go to the most complicated process, maybe it could be done, but it's just, I would call it impossible, like soap, this is solid soap. Little I can understand, it's basically impossible to separate it out completely. So here, the Chazon Ish is beferish. If it's impossible to separate it, it means it itself becomes possible. For Allah purposes, we say it itself became nifsa, even though it's just really a matter of Tarubis, but Tarubis became an irreversible linkage. You can't separate them anymore. And I think I told you that the Chavis Das, it seemed to me that he didn't say that beferish. So I found later, I think in the Mesorah, where he said that way, that the Chavis Das disagrees with that principle. But the Mesorah also quotes from Rav Soloveitchik, the same page, that he agreed with Chazon Ish. That if it became Me'ura, to the point of Eshel HaFrido, that's the same thing as if it itself became Mesorah. Which is an important point to discuss. Okay, I kind of talked about that a little bit earlier. In the context of discussing the enzymes, Sir Rav Shechter had a whole development, which he pointed out, that Al-Pi Al-Lacha, something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates in the world, and there are enzymes attached to it, we don't say the enzymes did it. We say the natural object did it. We say that the Sa'or is Mamad Yisa, even though it's rid of the enzymes, not the Sa'or. You can get the yeast in the store made in the laboratory. But you say, since it grows naturally in the Sa'or, we consider it if the Sa'or did it. And in that kind of thing, went through a number of other examples. If I have sourdough and I put it into the dough and it rises, what makes the dough rise? It's not really the sourdough, it's the enzymes that grow in it, they're on it. Right? And you can make those enzymes artificially in a lab, and you buy yeast in a packet and wool bounds. It's not called chametz at all, it's made in the laboratory. Alpha pecane, if those same enzymes grow on sourdough, we consider that the sourdough makes it rise. Because the enzymes are invisible, and we consider them to be part of the natural object in which they're found naturally. We find a similar idea in other situations. Blood is really alpha pecane, the red stuff, the Gemara says. The plasma, the white stuff, that's not considered to be blood if it's to be separated out. But if you don't separate it out, we can consider the entire thing to be blood. Milk. If you separate out the watery part, the current in the way, and the way, the may cholov, it's not considered just like water. But cholzman, if not separated out, it's considered an integral part of the milk. Echayim and then a revius of milk of some macholos asuris. Same with tomato, etc. And grain. You pull out the bran is considered fit for the dogs. So it's not considered food. But if the bran is still part of the grain, then we say that you would be chayiv on it. Blood. Blood is considered a separate item, which is prohibited. But as long as the blood is considered part of the meat, it's in the meat. Lo pirish. So we consider it permissible. It's part of the meat. It works both that way. It's even cooler. And it may even apply to man-made additions, which are recognized by the halacha. The two most famous foods the Torah recognizes are man-made are bread and wine. Into both of which you often throw water. You throw in water to make bread, you throw in water to make proper wine. According to some poskim, the water which goes into the bread of the wine is considered part of the bread of the wine, even though it's man-made. So it's a normal, fat way of doing things. Just wanted to mention this as a background to this discussion of enzymes. Okay. I'm not going to discuss now two more things with you. I know we may not finish exactly on the dot of 11, as I said I would try, but close to it, Mitzvah. I know everyone has a busy schedule, and I'm going to ask you after the shiur is over to stay behind for a minute so we can finish up the schedule for next Wednesday, Mitzvah. And then the Shavuot schedule for those few who are joining us. We spoke about the concept of Iser Shenishtana, the famous statement of Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah said that by an Iser Shenishtana, something, not that became inedible to a dog, forget about that story, we did not do that, it just changed forms. It changed from blood to musk, or it changed from meat to honey, or wings to honey, whatever may happen. So Rabbeinu Yonah said it's mutter. Basar hashtar linen, as the Pesukim call it. I found the present state, not what it was, Rabbeinu Yonah says. Lomad Avraham has two very powerful questions against the Rabbeinu Yonah, and I want to give you two answers. There seem to be two Gemaras which indicate that this is not the case. It's simply not true. One is the Gemara which tells us that Dam Necha V'Natsa Chol. According to the Gemara's biology, blood converts to milk in the animal, in the kosher animal. And the Gemara says it should have been usher anyway. It should have been usher because blood became milk. Would it not be for the special Kneres HaKasuv, Eretz Zavas Chol V'Dash? Not for that, milk of a cow would be usher. Just imagine that. Cow milk would have been usher, not for the special person. Fact among an Avraham, why? It's nishtana. It doesn't look like blood. So it's nishtana. It's nishtana, should be mutter. So why does the Gemara say that if not for the special pasuk, that blood would have been awesome? That's kasha number one. Kasha number two is the Gemara which we spoke about already. The Gemara speaks about Ephroah, Betzas, Trefa. And the Gemara says the reason why it's permissible is because it became nisal me'achila in the interim. Were it not for that, had it somehow metamorphosized from an egg to a chicken without becoming inedible in the interim, would have been prohibited. Would have been prohibited. Why? So nisal it's nishtana. Started off an egg and came out a chicken. I would say that's nishtana. So based on these two questions, the Logan Avraham Rabbi Yonah is wrong. It's wrong. Finish it wrong. Wrong. So we saw two answers to this question, both of which are very important. Sure. The Gemara says by Ephron Beitzes Treif, but it's mutter for a technical reason. That it nis misruche sruche b'yemtza. Became inedible in the interim, which we discussed before. Were it not for that, it would have been prohibited. Why? Nishtam? The first terrace we saw is the Makor Chaim. Very beautiful answer. The Makor Chaim picks up on the following statement. The Mogen Avraham said, that, quoted from the Rosh, that Rabbeinu Yonah said a proof about the musk from the case of the honey. This is V'raya Shechot Tzri Charaya. Who said the honey is mutter? You have to have a raya from somewhere. Well, where do you find some kind of, who said it to? Maybe it should really be mutter. Maybe it should really be awesome about it. Says the Makor Chaim, the source of the pasuk in last week's parasha, last. V'lechem v'koli v'charma lo sochu v'etzem ayom hazeh. So the Gemara says, Jesus. Gemara says that what are you both pasukim for? Lechem, koli, karma. Gemara explains if it wouldn't be for the pasuk, it said that lechem is mutter. Why? Eino ve'ene, not ve. What do you mean eino ve'ene? It's just the shtam. So what do you see? That if not for a pasuk, the shtana might be considered to be mutter. No, you'll say, but the pasuk tells that it's aser. That's exactly what the pasuk tells that it's aser. Yes, it's a Makor Chaim, it is Asa. Rabbi Yonah said it's Mutter. It all depends. If it's Omer Lekach, the Dark Lekach, which is bread, which is Omer, the wheat is made to be made into bread, then it's Taka, in fact, Asa Min HaTorah. The Shtar would not be of help. But it's Ein Omer Lekach, not meant for that, it's manifest destiny, it's not meant for that, then if it's Nishtana, it would be considered to be Mut. It's a Gemara Chulin. Someone made the blood congealed. The Gemara says, Achshavet. So you'd be Chayev. Quotes a Rashba there, and a Rashba in Brochus. You take something and you cook it, and you make it better, and you make it now, it's in a form which it's destined for. So again, you would be Chayev. So the Kitz and Nimrod, the Makor Chaim is as follows. Yes, there are proofs of precedence. If it's Omed, Vidarko, Lekach, then Ishtana is Osir. If it's Ein Omed, Vidarko, Lekach, Ishtana is Mutter. Now the male of the Kasha falls off, falls the Kasha. The Makor Chaim, two Kashas, two Gemaras, which indicate that it was, she really should be Osir and Ishtana. It was yes, both of those two cases, by Omed, Vidarko, Lekach. The blood turns into milk as part of the natural process, and the egg turns into a chicken as a natural process. So therefore, there'll be no ether of Ishtani. But in the case of the Rabbi Leona, it's the same as the grain turning into the bread. There's no ether of Ishtani, and the blood congealed. There's no ether of Ishtani. But in the case where it's not meant for that, such as the meat falling into the honey, it's not meant to convert to honey. Or the blood is probably not meant to go into musk. Discuss that a little bit. It's not always meant to be going to become musk. So then Ishtani would be a valid head. Very interesting suggestion of the Sefer Makor Chaim. Yes? I think it's a natural process.
If I did something to make it now into this, something that's usher into something that's winter, it's still winter.
I believe so. I have to check it out. I'm not exactly sure what your question is, and if I'm not, I can show my answers. But, then we saw an interesting end of the same Sefer called Yad Yehuda. Yad Yehuda in Simon Pei Zion Sukkot Yud Tes asked the Magen Avraham's Kasher, quotes the Magen Avraham's Kasher. He's a very interesting answer, almost a paradoxical answer. Rav Aaron and Rav Chaim, Zichrono Livracha, said that when it came to the Psul, the quote Hefter of Nifsal, Shmos had some Tzuru Olam and Aleph, so Rav Chaim said only applies to Yotzim and Aser, and not the Gufa Issa. Remember that? We just discussed it a little while ago. Comes along the Yad Yehuda, didn't know anything about Rav Chaim. We lived around the same time as Rav Chaim, maybe even earlier. Because the opposite, the flip side of that. With respect to the Heter, the potential Heter of Ishtani, it's exactly the reverse. Ishtani by Gufa Issa is a Heter. Ishtani by Yotzim and Osir is not a Heter. For an obvious reason, he says. Yotzim and Osir is always Nishtan. It's the nature of the Issur. The Torah asked a chicken. The chicken produced an egg. Egg is not like a chicken. The Torah asked a pig. And the pig produces milk. The milk is not a pig. So what do you say, Heter of Nishtan? On the contrary, the Yotzim is always Nishtan. And the Torah asked it anyway. So it's not going to help you have some kind of a Nishtan. The Mela, on this basis, but in the case of Rabbi Leona, what are we talking about? The blood became musk, not Nishtani. Not Yotzim and Osir. The blood itself, the Gufa Yisrael became musk. And the what? The Gufa Bosser, whatever it may be, became Drash. No din of Yotzim in such a circumstance. Therefore, the Yadud says so beautifully, the Heter of Yishtani would work, and you can't slug them up from the case of Cholov, or the case of a frog makes a straight. That's called Yotze. By Yotze, there's no Heter of Nishtani. I think it's a valid idea. It's really the flip side of the Reb Chaim. The whole state was worth it. Just see that one beautiful Chiddush.
Reb Chaim said a long time ago. Reb Chaim said with respect to the psul of Nifsal, it only applies to a Yotze Benos, not to a Gufis. Rabban Kotler made a big deal out of that. Now I say with respect to the Hedder Mishnah, it's Punkt Verkehrt. Expressions found in the Ramah, in Siman Pei Zayin and Yerodea, not found in Shas, not found in the Mishnah, not found in the Brisa, not found in the Gemara.
We saw a record in some album with Mashma like that.
I'm sorry, I don't hear you.
Didn't we see a record somewhere that was Mashma like that before we saw
it? Oh yeah, many records, but the expression, Dor Ramayna, I feel that was not found anywhere. There is a Gemara about a Zohar, the Flam and Hayim and Aleph, which is extremely relevant to our discussion. At one point the Gemara says that by, if you have Avodah Zorah, a Kavish of Avodah Zorah, or a Behemoth of Avodah Zorah, and you throw it into milk, it becomes cheese, Kavan Okume Komokin, it makes it stand, Kemand Isra Be'enei, as if it's really there, which seems to signify Dover Amar, if you have a flow of passion it up for the Gemara. Well, there are a number of ways out. One is it's Isra Hanoh, not just Isra Achila. So I know it's different. Or it's us about Hila anyway, it's only trying to superimpose this Tirana. Possible ways out. Or about a Zora Stamol Khamer. To make it very brief, the machlokas to be shown him, but this concept exists or doesn't exist. Since you see if it exists or not. Dora Mayam and Hila Bela Flavot. Some say yes and some say no. And all the riots you have here from the Gemara about a Zora Flamme, hey, can be refuted. That Ukume Kamoka could be only done by Yisra Ano. Later on, they more ask Kavinas Akam, of course, one reason is Shemin Mamet Borkemus Nevela. You can say we don't pass like that Gemara. We pass Kavinas Akam for a different reason. Giloy or some other reason, whatever it may be. So big Machlok is a Rishon. Start with the machlokas with the halacha lemaisa. It's be'elaf lo batla. The ma'amar is be'elaf lo batla. The mechav and Rambam say yes, not batla. And the Marashal said the whole thing is a bluff. And the Yad Yehuda in that same Simon Pei Zayin. This is a Sif Katan Chaf Hey. Has a lengthy dissertation which he tries to demonstrate that Rov Chachmei Ashkenaz agreed with the Marashal. But the fact is nothing, it's never a mind, it's possible. That's what he claims. Have tremendous impact. Jeez, and other, all kinds of other areas of halacha. But there's a problem on both sides. To get to the Farish of Mishnah Brisa, which talks about, also the final Masechet Pesachim, excited enough, Chavam and Bey, about Tzor Shel Truma. I have the sourdough of the Truma. So there's a problem of presumably what we could call Dover HaMaimid. So if we call Dover HaMaimid, it's a chadaf in a Mishnah. You can't argue with a Mishnah. It doesn't say the words Dover HaMaimid, but that's true. But that's what it applies with.
So that implies that in fact Dabra Maimed also in a mission that way. The Dabra Maimed is not both. So the answer is suggested that you can't put everything in the same pot or the same category. Perhaps the situation of Sa'or is more chomer than the situation of Or Kevah, which is thrown into the milk. Why? Why? Is a Tosis in Chulin Tzadi Pesam and Bay, top Tosis. Well, the end of the Tosis says, Kuf Tezayin Amin Aleph, Amamid Barakei Hakeva Am Yeshba Fenosin Tam Asura, Mashma Oleka Nosin Tam Shuri, Afal Pisha Hemen Acholah, Shubda Hamod Lo Hashiva Taima, Fuadin Chimutz. Why is it that din of Sa'or shall cry a kerem or shall truma? Why that constitute the problem? Mishani Sa'or shiny, the chimutzo kosher. Last two words of Tosis. The chimutzo kosher. What does that mean? And we don't exactly sure what it means, but perhaps it means that this is what the Yaduna suggests, that yes, there is some kind of a taste of the Sa'or in the ultimate product. You don't taste it in the full sense of the original taste of Tantik or the Raisa, it's not the original taste, but it's the Mutso Koshen, it's some kind of an impact that you somehow, you do feel somehow some taste result from the original Sa'or, though it doesn't taste like the original Sa'or, but there is a taste impact. And therefore that kind of a Dabra Maimed is more chomer, as opposed to the case where I just throw a piece of skin into the milk and it makes it to cheese, with absolutely no taste impact whatsoever. That's one suggestion. Or a second suggestion. In the case of the milk is definitely edible or drinkable before it's converted into cheese, and therefore that's why the Maimed does not play such a significant role. As opposed to the case of the dough, which is inedible, although kids sometimes gnash on dough, but we consider that to be inedible before it was made to rise, and therefore this all plays a greater role. Now, indeed, the fact that Sa'or is a more chomer than the keva is utilized by the Yad Yehuda to come up with an amazing kula, which I find to this day somewhat troubling. What will happen if I'm mavid something with davar ha'aser b'achila, and then I pull it out completely? Davar ha'aser b'achila is now completely removed from the original tarubs. Gufo, the tamo, completely removed. What's the din? So the chart of the Pharisee, Gemara Pesachim, that comes to Ayinam and Alam, that it's awesome. What about a Rambam? That was Macholas Asurus. The Gemara says, that means if you remove the Isser before the chimutz process, then it's mutter. But if you remove the, it's quite clear from the Gemara, it's explicit in the Rambam, but if you remove the Sa'or Shal Isser after the chimutz process, it's awesome. I have pulled out the Isser completely, so how can you wash it to be awesome? I don't have a bottle, but here, the pulled it out, nothing left. Says the Yadud, no. In this case, there's something left, some residual time, something or other is there. That's exactly the reason why it's a mochamer. So much so, there are some who deny Dabra Maimed completely when you're not in the category of sorry, only talk about making a salad into a liquid, such as all kevah and nevela. However, in the case where you have this Sa'or, where there is a residual taste, then and only then does the Gemara say, even if you pull the whole thing out, after the chimutz process, it remains awesome. But claims the Sefer Yad Yehuda. Perhaps make a liquid into a solid with some object or other. And I remove the object completely, it plus its entire time, if that's possible, then in fact, it would be permissible. You wouldn't say it's considered to be a Dover HaMaira. For example, I have salt, little globs of salt. I want to make it to one big rock of salt. What about you? The only thing I have is blood. But the blood is very handy to make a little piece of salt into one big rock of salt. Fine, I do it. And after a while, the salt eats up the blood. Whatever that means. Or you do some processing and there's no blood left. Nothing, zero. Absolutely zero. Should we say that Dover HaMaimed did its job? It made the little granules of salt into one big rock. It was maimed it. That big rock of salt remains prohibited even though the blood is completely removed? I would have said yes. Same as you prohibit the dough which rose, even though the sa'ar shel truma was completely removed. That's what I would have said. And the Yehuda says no. He thinks that you cannot compare the two cases. Here, it's more chomer. Because here, in the case of sa'ar, it has some measure of taste, even though it's not really taste, it's not tam ki ikar, but chimutzo kosher, Tosa says, in chulin tzadi testament days, there's some feeling or other of the original sa'ar, and therefore, it would be in fact us, even if you remove it completely, since it did the chimutz process. When it comes to the case of making the liquid rise to a solid, to the sun, Paul would say, and he thinks Rov Rishon or Mashka would say, Vichlal is no problem, the Ramayim. Vichlal doesn't exist, this problem. And even those who say it is a problem, I said, Mechab and Ramon do pass it after all, it's only a problem if something remains, the Ramayim and Achille Velas will bottle. But if it's removed completely, there's nothing left of the original Isser, and it's not Shach talking about bottle and not bottle, it's just completely removed. And therefore, he claims in such a circumstance it would be permissible. Rav Schechter, in his Kuntris about Dover HaMaamid, talks about a Machlokas Tosfos in the Ran about Shvach Eitz of the Pot and Shvach Eitz of the Tavshil, and he claims that perhaps the Ran of distinguishing between Pot and Tavshil means to say something similar. That if in the case of Shvach Eitz of the Pot, you would take the Dover HaMaamid because it picks it up. And again, the Shvach Eitz and the Tavshil, it just makes it hot, doesn't make it rise. So it would not be considered to be in the category of Dover HaMaamid. And then that basically goes to a whole Arichas Dvarim when he tries to prove that to Shulchanav, Pasach, Tosfos against Iran. So it has to come out like the Yad Yehuda. It must come out that way, according to that whole Mahalo. And I thought that wasn't the case at all. I thought Shvach Eitz and the Tavshil does not mean a Dover HaMaamid. Even in the case of a loaf, it's not the fire which makes it rise. It rose before it got into the oven. It doesn't change much between the four galleries and the time it came out. I hope that the whole distinction was the difference to a distinction. Is it direct or indirect? Hand off from the heat. In one case it's direct, the hookah connects, in one case it's indirect. It heats the water eats the top. So that's what I thought the shot was. And moreover, the Ran agrees to those. In the same line. So the fact that we pass that close seems to me to be irrelevant in this discussion. Rather, what is really relevant is whether you're willing to assume that they're two completely different categories of Dover HaMaamid. One is Sa'ar, we must be fair, it's us if you remove everything, and you want to create a brand new category, which some Rishonim in fact deny, namely that Maamid is liquid to be a solid, that's a new category, and that new category, if you remove the Yisr, would be completely remoteless, which is the Dam, which is Balu and the Melah, or in some theoretical case of the Keva, which is removed completely from the Cholov. That case will be mutter. Of course, in most cases, Kevin Cholos may have pointed out, we assume that some time does in fact remain. So this wouldn't apply. So in the case which does apply with the Dam in the Mela, this would depend upon the Shabbos we spoke about before. This is a brief synopsis of the sugya of Dover HaMaamid, bottle or low bottle, or what it means, perhaps to dinim in Dover HaMaamid, and the question of removing the Isser completely. We'll stop here. We discussed many, many topics in these 2.5 blocks, and then one sim and Tuffman Bays. I mean, I didn't discuss this in Maimid, in Tuffman Bay, the whole discussion, the second Maimid, the third Maimid, Zeb is a Gorim in Maimid, the Rice of the Rabbanan, all these discussions are kind of like the same Mogan Avram's cut and test, which you really should look at. We'll have to stop though, because I said I would try to stop to give you time to do your reading week. I mean, I recognize reading week, I'm a Kabbalist. I feel that you have to be Matzliach in your finals as well. Tomorrow and Thursday, I'm saying she at 9:30. I'm aware of the fact that there are those who can't make it because they have reading week, and I'm Merchel B'Lev Shalom, it's not an official Shia, so we follow the calendar, Ben the Kula, Ben the Chumra.
You make it later tomorrow? portion of Sherry is taking.
Look forward. Three people can.
A good portion of the people who will be coming in for sheer, they're reading the Gemara.
Taking the Nida what?
Yes.
So she's taking it at 9 o'clock. So you'll be here by 9:30. What's the problem? Right? Then it was a problem. Ah, I'll start. I'll start a little bit later. If I will, at 9, I'll knock at 10:30. 10:30 is still.